Welcome to EB5 Investment Voice, where attorney insights intersects with immigration investments. If you are a foreign investor, domestic fund manager, or enterprising entrepreneur and want to get the most out of the EB5 program, you have come to the right place. I'm Mark Deal, and I'll be your co-host on this journey. I'm joined by your host, Mona Shaw, and other attorneys at Mona Shaw & Associates, as well as immigration leaders from around the world. So let's get into EB5 Investment Voice.
One of the frequently asked questions we get is, what's going on in EB5? And that's kind of the spirit of today's episode, right?
That's right, Mark. It's a huge topic and a small topic. But guess who we are so excited that we have back on the show again?
Oh, I know, because I already know going into this. We have a returning guest, Bernard Wusdorf, or as many fondly refer to him, Bernie.
Hey, I just go as Bernie the attorney. Thank you so much, Mona. Thank you so much for having me back on the program. I think your program is undoubtedly the best in the series. And I think today we're going to have the opportunity to give all the latest, greatest, and hot news to your listeners. EB5 changes almost like the weather in Boston, where I used to live every few hours. And today we're going to give you the latest weather forecast and try and make some predictions on what the weather was going to be like tomorrow in the EB5 arena.
I know. Well, Bernie, you don't really need any introduction, but I will let Mark introduce you.
Bernie is the past president of the American Immigration Lawyers Association, which is an association of about 15,000 attorneys specifically focused on immigration into America. Bernie has also earned the AILA Service Award, and Bernie is also a legal dragon, which he didn't put that in his bio this year, but if you go check out the fun episode we had last year, Bernie describes what a legal dragon is.
But that's for Game of Thrones fans.
Call back to EB5 Investment Voice last year when we had Bernie on. But one of the things I want to point out is Chambers USA recently described Bernie as one of the hardest working immigration lawyers around. And that's since last year's episode. So Bernie has rolled up his sleeves and he's back here with us on EB5 Investment Voice.
Thank you. And Bernie, again, thank you so much for joining us. And we have so much to tell our listeners about.
Well, the one thing that I really want to get into, and quite frankly, all those past president titles, but the thing that really I'm excited about is that on October 29 and October 30 in Chicago, AILA and IIUSA, that is the 15,000, almost 16,000 immigration lawyers, and IIUSA, the Regional Center Trade Association, are for the first time joining forces to do a program in Chicago. So this is also a call out to everybody. You can go to AILA.org.
And IIUSA's website. But this is a really big deal, Bernie, right? I mean, anybody who's anyone in the EB5 industry is going to be at this event.
Well, yeah. You know, AILA, which focuses on education and in-depth analysis of laws and regulations, is now teaming up with IIUSA. They both have headquarters in Washington. The teams have been working together. We're expecting over 500 people, everybody from the lawyers to the developers to the regional centers, bankers, escrow.
We have investors, we have everybody coming to this event. I can't stress this enough, Mark, why this is such a big deal, because AILA traditionally is a little more conservative and they don't really come out in this way. And I think this is wonderful. I think we're going to have such a great marriage, and
right. This
is going to be an amazing program for many reasons.
Well, the key is industry. The entire industry will be there. And, you know, normally in order to attend an AILA conference, you have to be an AILA member. But we're making special rules for this particular program because EB5 is different. So this is open to the public. Everybody can come and register. We want to see developers. We want to see lawyers. We're going to see everybody in Chicago. You know, hey, it's not just their deep pan pizza. It's a great city to come and visit. October is not too cold yet. So I'm looking forward to seeing you. And part of what I was doing was bragging is AILA actually appointed me as the conference chairman. And I know Mona, Mona, you've been working with us on the conference committee as well, and I think we've got a really good program together. So thank you, Mona, for all the hard work you've done in helping get this together and bring sponsors to this event.
Yeah, and Bernie, we really want to stress as well that when everybody is coming to this event, I know we all want business, and that's the bottom line here. But there's networking is one of the best ways of getting business, whether it's lawyers to lawyers or lawyers or these developers from lawyers. I mean, 15,000 lawyers is a lot of lawyers.
That sure is. But, you know, the issue that I'm really focused on is the lawyers. I get to meet them, the IIUSA guys. And I'm just talking about personally for myself.
Yeah.
But here's something that's really good. Sarah Kendall, most people don't even know this, was recently appointed as the new IPO chief. So in many sense, she is absolutely critical to focus on the direction that we will see in EB5, that is adjudications, processing times. So we have a new sheriff in town, and Sarah's background, she comes from the Fraud Detection and National Security Directorate of the USCIS. So, you know, that's quite a tough credential. And she was the deputy director, I think, acting chief of that unit prior to her appointment to the IPO, the Immigrant Investor Processing Office. And Sarah will be a keynote speaker. So I am so excited. I know that in the previous program, which you did, Mona, you were able to get Julia Harrison, the acting chief, and all her staff. And that made it one of the best programs. So now we have the new chief. So anybody who's in the EB5 wants to understand what is going on and what to expect, you better be there, because not only will you get to meet regional centers, projects, lawyers, brokers, everybody in the industry, but you will also get to meet some of the key government officials, and not to mention Charlie Oppenheim.
Great old Charlie.
Charlie has already accepted. Charlie will be also doing a keynote. And quite frankly, there's nothing more important right now than understanding the waiting lines, understanding what the cutoff dates will be, the new final action dates that are being established for several countries. Anybody who's interested in doing EB5 really has to understand what Charlie has to say, making predictions on waiting lines, which is important for us lawyers and for investors and region centers in order to strategize, which, you know, need I say more?
Strategy and visas, they're hitting some of the major markets right now, Bernie. I mean, look, other than China and Vietnam, where people do know that there is some backlog, or a bit more than some backlog, but we're looking at India, we're looking at South Korea, we're looking at Brazil, Taiwan as well, I believe. All of these countries next year, what's going to happen? I think it's so crucial for people to be there, to know what's going to happen. And also, I don't know if you've noticed, but IPOs since last year have got a slightly new policy of having a little more outreach. They're not going to sit in their little golden cage and be untouchable. They will be there to be so you can ask questions and come up with points.
Well, that is certainly good news, and not to be critical, but there's so many complicated positions and so many unanswered questions. You know, for example, the recent clarification with regard to geographic location of regional centers, that was a little bit scary, because in the past, the attitude had been very liberal and very broad in terms of scope, a geographical scope. But it seems that now the IPO is not only trying to limit the number of regional centers by early termination, but it's looking for very strict geographical basis to, in fact, deny. So we need to learn what they're thinking, because it directly affects our clients and the program in so many different ways. I wanted to circle back. You know, Mona, you raised the question of cutoff dates. That's the phrase we used to use in describing the visa bulletin. For those of you who are not familiar, the visa bulletin controls the issuance of visas. It's published once a month. Google the term visa bulletin. If you don't know about it, then you can't really be in the EB5 arena. And as you mentioned, you know, China has a lengthy waiting line. Vietnam now also has a waiting line. But the new word is called final action date. So the question is, who's got the final action date? What is the final action date? And how will that final action date move? So, you know, China's been stuck with the 2014 final action date, and it's moving at a snail's pace. Vietnam is stuck behind the Chinese quota, but that will be corrected in October, starting in 2 weeks, the new quota. In fact, I think the October visa bulletin will probably be released today or tomorrow with predictions on how long the Vietnam waiting line will be. And then, Mona, you mentioned India, and Charlie has said summer 2019, India will have a cutoff date, and everybody wants to know, what will that be? And Charlie's going to give us that information October 29, and he's also going to give us information on other cutoff dates, final action dates, including Korea, Taiwan. At one point, he was talking about Hong Kong.
Brazil?
Well, Brazil may be there. We don't know for sure.
Well, Brazil was mentioned earlier. I think at the last IIUSA event, there, Charlie did mention that Brazil was going to be part of that little group.
Absolutely. But one of the things I want to tell you is, you know, Charlie gives information. These are warning signals. These are, I call, a shot across the bow. They are not black and white. Many times Charlie has to recalibrate. So quite frankly, until it formally appears in the visa bulletin, it's just talk. It is not fact. So we don't know for sure what the numbers will be, how long the waiting lines will be until they actually get announced. And I think people need to know that.
And Charlie Oppenheim is going to be at this event, this AILA IIUSA event, October 29th, October 30th, right?
Absolutely, yes. Charlie is going to be one of the keynote speakers, and he's always available and willing to answer questions.
Bernie, you mentioned, I mean, we really brought up a really good point, though, about India. India is very much part of the EB5 industry right now, as being one of the most popular countries where we are seeing investors coming from and likely to fall into backlog by next year. But one of the issues with Indians is the amount of Indian nationals who are currently in this country on H-1Bs and EB2s, and who are in these horrendous waiting lines, and they're looking at EB5 as a lifeline. You've come up with an amazing idea. Are you going to be bringing up your great idea about the red combo card at the event?
Well, you know, let's talk about this, because the Indian community, and I'm not just pandering here, but is highly sophisticated, highly educated. Each one of the prospective clients seems to know more than I about EB5, because they go online, they do the research. So
they listen to a podcast.
they listen to Mona's podcast, but a very informed audience. And, you know, there are literally hundreds of thousands of Indian nationals stuck in what I call the never-ending EB2, EB3 waiting line. They may not live long enough to get green cards if they don't fix that. So many of them have suddenly discovered, well, EB5, gosh, for, you know, $500,000 investment, I can get a green card. And if I do this carefully, I'll get my money back. So, you know, this is a pretty good deal for many of them. And quite frankly, India is the new hot market. India is the new China. And the demand from well-qualified professionals is very, very high. So Mr. Oppenheimer made an off-the-cuff prediction that India would in fact be subject to a final action date sometime in the summer. Now, you know, he said this before. Let's go back. May 2015, not quite summer, is when China got hit with its cutoff date, final action date. May 2018, Vietnam got hit with a waiting line and stuck behind the Chinese waiting line. But come October 1, we will see that Vietnam will recover probably to a 2016 cutoff date, which is a two-year wait. So not so bad right now, 2 or 3 years for those people who filed in 2016, the Vietnamese. With Indian nationals, it's a little bit more complicated.
Well, that's because there's so many dependents when it comes to Indian nationals. You know, that's another issue. That they're going to be bringing that up at the event as well.
Well, I think that's true. That's called the multiplier, and the Indian multiplier is quite – but there's quite a lot of singles as well. I mean, you probably have more Indian nationals than anyone, but I'm seeing quite a few singles. They haven't, you know, got the wife yet. The option of marrying an American isn't available, so EB5 – pardon me, I shouldn't make cultural comments, but, you know, well, it works. At the end of the day, those marriages work. And
sorry,
you know,
ladies, I'm taken.
Well, I don't know what your nationality is, but pardon the bad joke. But going back to the key point, the so-called red card, is that if you file an adjustment in the U.S. before a final action date is established, or your final action date is current and you're on an H-1, you can file an I-485, and 4 or 5 months later, you get a work permit, a travel permit, and who cares how long the green card takes? In many instances, it might even be better from a worldwide taxation point of view to be able to argue that you are not a permanent resident, and that so filing the adjustment, but it is possible that May, June, July next year, you will not be able to file an adjustment if you are from India unless you have a current priority date. And if China, if India backlogs substantially in May, June, or July, that gives us a very short window. We're currently in September. So if an Indian national files tomorrow, unless their 526 is expedited, quite frankly, there is virtually no chance that they will be able to file the adjustment prior to the establishment of a final action date. So this is going to happen to India. I'm pretty sure of it. What we don't know is how long that wait will be, but and
how it's going to affect dependent children, because that's what the big issue for many people are, that the children will age out.
Well, we already have to factor that in, okay? At the end of the day, the Child Status Protection Act is a complicated area of law, but let's just make it simple. Here's the bottom line. You only get credit for the time the petition is pending. So if the petition's pending 2 years, you can take the kid up to age 23. But if the final action date does not become current at the time the petition is approved, the clock starts running again and the child will age out. So we're seeing a lot of age outs for Chinese nationals. Here's my bottom line. If India ends up with a 5 or 6 year waiting line, the bottom line is any child over the age of, let's say, 17 or 18 could be in trouble, and they may have to file as principals. And, you know, Mona, I'm sure you're doing it as well. But for Chinese nationals, we've been filing for 14, 15, 16-year-old kids.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes. Do you think we're going to have some guidance about minors, filing of minors at the event?
You know, we have guidance. At the end of the day, USCIS has been very reasonable and very fair. They just want to see that the investment is irrevocable and binding.
Yes.
And the good news is, under the various statutes, and I'm referring to UGMA, Uniform Gift to Minors Act, and UTMA, Uniform Transfer to Minors Act, under these standard acts, it is possible with competent lawyering, and I know you do that, Mona, with competent lawyering, it is possible to ensure that the contract is in fact binding. And quite frankly, we've been getting approvals from immigration. So I'm not having any problem with this. I don't know that I want any more clarification. The government's position is reasonable. They want a binding contract, because if the person can get out of it, well, the money's not irrevocably committed. And that just doesn't meet the basic rules. So,
well, even if you don't get guidance as such, you've just explained it in a beautiful manner that I'm sure a lot of people would appreciate who really don't understand. So I feel like, you know, events like this are so important just to even sometimes consolidate what you think you know. And it's so interesting also, Bernie, that we haven't had a single stakeholder engagement this year. We're already in August. No, we're in September. What am I saying? Where did August go? We're in September and there hasn't been a single stakeholder engagement. So perhaps this is the big thing.
Well,
for IPO.
I'm not going to celebrate yet, but what I will say is we are so grateful that the government folks will come out and update us, and also the entire industry will come together to discuss all the latest developments. And I think, Mona, one of the things you wanted to do is discuss, we all know that September 30th is the sunset date. So the big question is, what's going to happen after September 30th? And I almost want to throw the question to you. Mona, we've had like 15 or 16 extensions, I've lost count, since 1990, and we need another extension. Last year, we got a one-year extension. Let me be the questioner for a second. What do you think? What do you think is going to happen post September 30th?
Well, I think that I could really safely put my money on another extension, because I don't see anything legislatively happening this year, especially with elections in November, and also with the indications that we're getting that the new regulations will probably be ready by early next spring. So with the new regulations coming in, perhaps legislation will follow what the regulations say. Again, these are all insights that we can get when we've heard the government and we've heard speakers at forums such as this. Bernie, do you agree? What are your predictions post September 30th?
Well, firstly, nobody knows is the correct answer. But I want to develop two scenarios. Under scenario one, you are correct. Midterm elections are everything. So nothing's going to happen until November because, you know, basically Congress is going to freeze. But here's one possibility. One possibility is that we get a really short extension through to December, which they've done before. And that puts pressure on Congress to do something. And during the lame duck, we actually see a bill go into Congress and get enacted just before Christmas when nobody's watching. Now, why do I say this?
That's scary, Bernie. That's scary.
I do scare people from time to time. And the reason I'm saying this is IMAC 90, most of the major legislation in immigration snuck through in the lame duck session when nobody's watching. So I think that there's probably, and I really don't know, but I've heard there's a bill brewing and that there's probably a 40 or 50% chance that we'll get new legislation in December. And that will potentially be a good thing because, you know what, we need some certainty to this program and we need some clarity on some of the rules. So that is one scenario. And then, of course, the other scenario is we get a straight one-year extension and that the government publishes the regulations in December, maybe December for one and February for the other, because the critical question is, when will the price increase come? You know, they can do this by regulation. I'm telling clients December is a drop-dead date. You would be very foolish not to file your case before December. You want to wait to January? Well, you might just have to pony up an extra $1 million or so, because you know, 1.8 million is what's in the regs and 1.35 million for the TEA. So those numbers may be a little bit lower, but the bottom line is the old $500,000 program, which President Trump thinks is much too cheap, is probably out the window. And, you know, if you look at some of the other programs, Malta, €1 million, New Zealand, 3.5.
It's pretty competitive. I know it's pretty competitive. But those programs don't have an at-risk element. And I keep arguing with a lot of the investors that this is not a buy your way into a green card. There is an element of at-risk here, which you don't have in any other program. And there's the other factors.
No, I wanted to argue with you. I think all of the programs have risk, you know, until you get your money back. I mean, they all these government programs, you know, are Hungarian bonds better than right now? What we're seeing in EB-5 is a maturity in the market. And I think there's hundreds of projects on the market, but most of them won't sell because the investors become too sophisticated. They want to ensure there's adequate collateral for the loan. And the bottom line is that I'm seeing some pretty good projects out there right now. A policy, I don't endorse, but, you know, there are relatively safe investments in my book with some of these projects. And, of course, there's some risky ones. So that's really the nitty gritty of this EB-5 is can you find a project where you feel comfortable that your money will be returned to you? And I'm saying that's possible.
No, I'm seeing it, actually. I'm definitely seeing it. But Bernie, getting back, because we are running out of time and we have so much more to talk about. But one of the big issues is that we just passed September 11th, which was that date that the new policy memorandum for USCIS is coming into effect. No RFEs, no NOIDs. What's going to happen? Are we going to see straight denials for innocent mistakes from USCIS?
Well, what scares me is we're going to see straight denials on good cases. For those people who did what I call rush skeleton filings, Yes, we need to be afraid, because if the case is not approvable at the time of filing, the USCIS has made clear that they want to limit the number of regional centers. They want to contain the program. And I do think we're going to see a lot of straight denials. But, you know, Mona, quite frankly, if I get a straight denial on a good case, which is not substantiated, you know, I'm going straight into court. I'm going to I'm going to challenge him. So,
but I agree. I'm looking forward to the fact that placeholders are being stopped, because I'm sick and tired of seeing people going out to countries and trying to get innocent people, engulf innocent people into programs which are not very kosher, by saying you can put in 50,000, you can put 100,000, and don't worry, your place is saved. That's not going to happen anymore.
I can't believe people are still doing that. I had a client call me today and say, you know, can we pay in installments? And I said, absolutely not. The regulations do say invested or in the process of investing, but as a practical matter, while I heard one or two cases have sneaked through allegedly, you know, those cases are going to get denied. So I think people need to be very careful doing that kind of. But Mona, you've raised a critical issue that is not just for EB-5. It's across the board. And there is a new, we put in H-1s, the H's got massacred, the L's are getting massacred, the O's are getting picked on, the EB-1s are getting picked on at the moment. Yes. Quite frankly, everything is getting picked on. So, you know, this is the time where people always say, oh, well, you know, I'm going to use this inexperienced lawyer, or I'm going to go with this. What's the difference? This is where to be arrogant, you know, people who are seasoned and experienced, this is the opportunity to shine, because it's got very difficult right now. And I do have to caution both investors and lawyers that if you don't know what's going on, make sure that you link up with somebody who does know what's going on, because it's a little bit dangerous with the straight denial. They're not going to give you a second chance, and your client's not going to be happy when they invested $500,000 and you got a denial. So I think as attorneys, we need to be very, very careful. And as investors, we need to be very careful before we proceed and make sure that we are immigration compliant in our filings.
Yeah, Bernie, for developers and for people coming into EB-5, this forum also has a lot about investor markets, I understand. I mean, we're covering, quite frankly, we're covering most of the world as well as China.
Well, the thing that I find so interesting is that basically 85% of this business was China. So it was very, very simple. Right now, I was speaking to a regional center and they said they have clients from 17 different countries. And for the first time, China has now gone below 50%.
Yeah.
So this is no longer, and India, you know, I don't want to use the wrong term, but India is the new giant in this field. Vietnam, India is flexing its muscles. You know, that's great. India should. It is emerging as, you know, a major industrial nation. It's not surprising that there are people who are looking at this program as a path in many instances for their children to be educated at top schools and to get some of those wonderful jobs with, you know, Google, Microsoft, Facebook, those big six-figure jobs those kids get.
As we go into different markets around the world, it is good to have guidance from some of the experts on how to handle different markets, how to handle, for example, the MENA market as opposed to the Latin American market. So, you know, all of these things we're going to see at this event, hopefully, as well as I understand, the latest in litigation and SEC issues.
Oh, gosh, yes. You know, one of the things, in fact, it's, you just reminded me because I'm editing a notice that we need to send out, is we really have a heavy focus on ethics.
Yes.
IIUSA has a code of conduct, which is extremely important. AILA is very focused on ethics. This is both from a consumer protection point of view and also to make sure that we don't trip up on regulatory mistakes that lawyers have made in the past. This is a highly regulated industry. The SEC is very concerned to make sure that everything is done according to the book and above board. So this is also your opportunity to learn the latest. I've insisted as AILA program chair that people weave ethics into all of the presentations. so that we can remember that this is not the Wild West. This is a program which the U.S. government is very focused on ensuring compliance with rules and regulations. So,
well, we're also seeing a very troubling trend lately as well. That is lawyers who are being sued and being brought into lawsuits whenever there is anything which goes wrong with EB-5. So, Bernie, again, anyone who's anyone in this industry will be here at this conference. It's just it's going to be an amazing event. And I believe just anyone can register, right? You don't have to be an IIUSA member or an AILA member.
That is correct. Mona, for the first time, AILA is basically opening the doors to everyone to come and listen and learn and become familiar with this program. So listeners, please go to AILA, AILA.org, and just go to AILA Agoura or just Google AILA EB5 conference and it'll come up. And register, and we'll see you there. And you have a chance to meet Mona in person.
Hey, we're having a podcast booth, Bernie. They can even speak.
Fantastic. Thank you, Mona. You're such a leader. In terms of disseminating information, you are the leader and also a very well-skilled practitioner who really knows the globe. So I'm hoping that all your listeners will be there. My prediction is that the program will probably be sold out in the next 2 or 3 weeks. So people who, unfortunately, we do have a limit as to the number of people we can accommodate. So for those people who are interested, now is the time to register and we'll see you and you'll learn all the latest and greatest about the EB-5 program.
And meet the great Bernie Wulfsdorf himself.
Ah! It's just a humble little immigrant who works hard and
the dragon, the legal dragon.
that sounded good in China. That I was just so you translate that. Human Resources Executive magazine lists the top 20 immigration practitioners, and that's called the Dragon List. And I am honored to have been on that list for the last 5 or 6 years at least. So, yeah, there's some notables on that one, and I'm going to take the dragon listing as a compliment, but those titles mean nothing, so my clients want to know, when did you get the approval, and why did it take so long? And that's what I have to keep them happy with, is here's your approval, here's the green card, and my favorite statement is the green card will be in the mail next week.
Well, Bernard Wulfsdorf, thank you so much for coming on EB5 Investment Voice. I know Legal Dragon is a title that we like to joke about, but maybe next time you can be the third time visiting guest to EB5 Investment Voice. The hat trick. I think that should trump everything, even AILA past president, but I'm biased. Bernie, thank you so much for coming on.
Mona, thank you for being so gracious, and thank you all for having providing the opportunity to update you on some of the latest developments, and see you all in Chicago, October 29th.
Thank you for being with us today on EB5 Investment Voice. The topics presented in this podcast is informational in nature and is not to be taken as specific legal advice. If you have questions on the topics presented in this episode or other investment immigration needs, please contact Mona Shaw and Associates. Mona and her attorney staff can be reached at mshawlaw.com. That's mshahlaw.com. Make sure you don't miss our next episode focusing on a different aspect of the EB-5 program by subscribing to the podcast. While you're at it, leave us a rating on iTunes. If you really found this episode valuable, share it with someone else that could benefit from this information. Until then, I'll see you on the next episode of EB-5 Investment Voice.